Saga Egmont presents An Ocean of Stars by Imogen Martin, read by Stephanie Cannon. For my wonderful brother David, your unfailing optimism keeps our family together. And to all the Edinburgh Martins, for the many years of festivals, birthday celebrations, mine, and Hogmanay's. Part 1. Chapter 1. Boston, Massachusetts, May 1879.
Dr. McLennan, would you be Dr. McLennan?
Douglas halted and eased his leather cases onto the pier as he emerged from the customs house and into the early evening air. He scrutinized the elderly man who was dressed in black from his felt bowler hat to his shoes and wringing his liver-spotted hands.
Aye,
he replied.
That's me. At last, I must have inquired of half the men on your ship.
The man seemed agitated. Douglas wasn't sure why, but he felt an apology was required.
Immigration papers took some time to complete.
He picked up a case in each hand.
And you are? Merriman, come to collect you on behalf of the Van Bergens.
The man reached out his hand to take a piece of luggage. As he did so, Douglas noticed a slight curvature of the spine and saw the old man grimace.
I can manage,
he said with a firm nod, his fingers curling tighter round the handles. Merriman gave a shrug.
As you wish. The carriage is on the street.
He turned and set off down the pier.
Wait!
Douglas hesitated, and a group of men pushed past him. He called louder over the clamor of ship's engines and sailors yelling at porters.
The rest of my luggage. I need to wait for it to be unloaded.
Merriman looked back.
One of our boys will collect it. Please hurry along now, Dr. McLennan. My instructions are to get you to the hospital urgently.
He started walking away once more. Douglas dodged between men until he caught up.
The hospital? They can't be expecting me now. I need to find my lodgings, get some sleep. Can't be helped, Dr. McLennan. There's some sort of emergency.
Douglas liked sailing, but even so, he was worn out after the 2-week Atlantic crossing and had been looking forward to Mrs. Angelotti's lodging house, which, the advertisement promised, had hot baths, homemade Italian food, and beds free of bugs. But it seemed it wasn't to be. He adjusted his hat and hurried after the man. Thankfully, one case held his medical equipment. He was glad to find the carriage was comfortable. The black lacquered wood shone, the springs were generous, and the leather seat upholstered. Merriman climbed up next to the coachman, leaving Douglas alone with his thoughts as the vehicle trundled its way from the harbor into the heart of Boston. Was this how the Pilgrim Fathers felt, arriving in a new land? Aye, they were probably just as weary and hungry. Like them, New England was a chance for Douglas to make a new life, to put the mistakes of the past behind him. He leaned back and smoothed his mustache as he looked out of the window. Dusk was falling, but he could see that the buildings looked fine in the lamplight. He'd lived in a number of cities, grown up in Dundee, studied in Edinburgh, worked in London. These American buildings were newer, taller, and more uniform than he was used to. The carriage jolted to a stop, and Douglas realized he'd fallen asleep. His bones ached as he climbed down to the sidewalk on a street of terraced buildings. He bristled at the high-handed behavior of the Van Bergens, expecting him to work when he had barely arrived. He hoped it wasn't a sign of difficult times ahead. He would need to put his foot down right at the beginning. Merriman handed him his 2 bags, and Douglas looked up at the building. In truth, it was much smaller than he'd expected, given the enthusiastic recommendation from his old tutor, Professor Moncrief. Weren't the Van Bergens one of the richest families in the United States? This looked more like a domestic house. Servants' quarters at street level, steep stone steps to the first floor, and then 3 stories above. It was built of black brick with regular sash windows. Douglas followed Merriman up the steps to the oak door, beside which was a small brass plate that read, Van Bergen Women's Hospital. Merriman knocked, and almost immediately the door was swung open by a short woman in an aproned uniform. Merriman nodded towards him.
Dr. McLennan.
Thank the Lord, the woman replied. Come on in.
Douglas stepped into a lobby lit by 2 gas lamps.